some of these big Bibles and concordances at the back. You don't find your way around them so easily, do you? Well, it's good to be with you this morning, and it's my pleasure and privilege to draw to a close, as it were. I hope not to a close, that's the wrong way to put it. What we've been considering each month for 10 months during the course of this year. And as I've been thinking about this, I've come to the conclusion that there's a chapter missing, and it's chapter 9, and that's what I want to bring to you this morning. But also, I'm very aware of the fact that today is first Sunday in Advent, and Advent is obviously something which is very important. We were reminded by Chris last week about it, and we've been reminded by Clive this morning. So during my study this week, as I've been thinking about what I should speak about, the Lord has laid very much on my heart the fact that, first of all, that it will link in with what we heard last week and in Luke chapter 1. And you know, we read these chapters and in our Bibles regularly, and particularly at this time of the year. But it's never dawned on me in all the years I've been reading Luke chapter 1 that the chapter was so long. It's 80 verses long, so we're not going to be reading from it, but I am going to allude to it as we go through it. So as I say, we've been thinking about loving our church, and we were reminded during the course of these messages that we've been having by various people, and myself included, and of the fact that we are just one small part of the Church of God, and that we shouldn't lose sight of that. You know, we're concerned that our numbers are not as great as they perhaps have been in the past, but this happens, doesn't it, with churches. They go through great times, and then sometimes they go through a dearth and so on. And I've entitled my talk this morning as "The Impossible Made Possible." And I exhort you all this morning that when sometime during the day, this week, that you read through Luke chapter 1, all 80 verses. It's a very interesting chapter. There's a lot in it, and there we are. But you know, as I was trained, taught, whatever, by my elders at in the assembly where I grew up for many years, and as I was mentored into preaching, I was recommended by a number of people that a good preacher always has a text. And that was something I've done for most of the time. We haven't done it so much with the as we looked at Love Our Church. But I want to leave two texts with you this morning, both basically the same thing, from the Gospels. First one is in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God." And if you read through Luke chapter 1, how evident that is, what God can do. And in Matthew 19 and verse 26, same sort of thought. It says that, "But with God, all things are possible." And you probably noticed my nose this morning, that on Thursday I had the privilege of having a BCC, whatever that is, removed from my nose. And as I say, I've been thinking about this morning, and where we were sat in the waiting area, there was a quiet room. Obviously, you know, the hospitals tend to have these days. And outside was a whiteboard. And obviously somebody had put some verses for to try and calm people, you know, you're waiting to go and have something done that you've got no control over, and you don't know how you're going to be when they've finished. But, you know, what was on there? It had impossible, the word impossible. And then underneath they'd written, I'M possible. I'm possible. And the idea was that, you know, nothing is impossible with God. There are impossible things for us. But really, sometimes we think, well, that's impossible. I couldn't do that. And yet as Christians, you know, if we're in the will of God, it's amazing what God can do through us. And I want you to think about that. So, as I speak this morning. So, we've spent the last 10 months, as I say, considering this subject of loving the church. And my prayer is that it's been of great value and encouragement to us. The last two chapters encouraged us to look outward and to witness and to send. Now, really, when we look around this morning, I don't see anybody who is potential for being a missionary, sending them abroad. You've probably been in churches as you've grown up, where if it was an outward-looking church, where people have been sent to Africa and other places, you know, to work for the Lord. Organisations like Echoes, I've lived with since I was almost knee-high to a grasshopper. Being in brought up in a brethren assembly, that is the one where the missionaries go out and they're supported by that. And we've all been involved, or many of us have been involved, throughout our Christian lives with missionary work and supporting missionaries, and probably we still do to today. So, as I say, at the moment, we can't really say that we're going to send anybody at all. But we can't dodge the issue of chapter 7, which was witnessing. And the final words of the Lord Jesus, Tom read them to us, that we are to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel. God says, Jesus said, to teach them and so on, to the very end of the age, and surely I am with you. And he said, as I say, in Matthew 19 and 26, with man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And that brings us to Luke chapter 1, where we're reminded of the fact that two babies were conceived and born in that chapter. And the first one, it foretells the birth of John the Baptist, who we were hearing about last week from the lips of Chris. And his father, Zechariah, was a priest, and his wife, Elizabeth. And it says that they were elderly, but they were an upright, childless couple who had obviously wanted a family, but it never happened. You may have met couples like that in the churches you've been in. I certainly have. And it is a sadness for these people. But, you know, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, and you have to learn to live with it. But there we are. But one day, Zechariah was doing his priestly duties, and he was visited by the angel Gabriel, who informed him that their prayers had been answered and that Elizabeth was going to give birth to a son in due course, and they were to call him John. Read that in chapter 1 and verse 13 of Luke. Yes, they'd been praying, but it never happened. And it would appear that they were round about my age. So, you know, I certainly wouldn't fancy having a baby at my age. Not me having one, but you know what I mean. You know, you sort of, we've been made, haven't we? When we're younger, we can cope with children far better than we can when we get into our 70s and 80s and so on. And they were at that stage in life. And they'd probably really given up the idea that they would ever be have a child. And so is it any wonder that when Gabriel said this to Zechariah, that you're going to have a son, he couldn't really believe it. You know what I mean? And he was totally amazed, couldn't believe it. And so because of that, Gabriel said to him, you're not going to be able to speak. You'll be dumb right up until it happens. But believe you me, God has sent me to tell you this, and it will happen. Yes, all things are possible with God. And so the credentials in verse 14, where are we? But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And bear in mind, she was around the 80 mark. And you're to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will be brought back to the Lord, their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. So we can understand, can't we, why he was not sure about what was going to happen. But nevertheless, he was made dumb, but he still continued in his work as a priest in that time. So he couldn't believe what he was hearing. Meanwhile, Mary had a visit again from Gabriel. God was keeping Gabriel busy, wasn't he, at this time? And she had a visit from Gabriel some 6 months later, informing her that she was to have the privilege of bringing the Lord Jesus into the world. And we read that in verses 26 to 38. She was taken aback. She couldn't understand it. She was a young virgin. And she was engaged to Joseph, but she'd had no union with Joseph at all, obviously. Things were slightly different in those days. Being engaged meant a lot different, more like marriage in our time. But there we are. She was told that this was going to happen. And what was her reaction? She was an amazing woman, wasn't she? I've said this on numerous occasions when I've spoken about Mary, that, you know, in our side of Christendom, put it that way, we don't hold it in high esteem in many ways because of, I was brought up in Liverpool, and there's a big division between the Roman Catholics and the Protestants, the orange people, you know, the orange men. And you go to March the 17th, and they're all out waving their flags and what have you. And then on the 12th of July, you've got the other lot out in their orange colours and waving their flags. And so, you know, that's my sort of background to this sort of thing. But, you know, one of the things was that there was a great thing that everything was about Mary in the Roman Catholic Church in those days. Not so much these days, I don't think, but there we are. And so we tended to, Mary tended to be sort of, not downgraded, but not spoken of in the same way. And yet when we read in the Bible, with an open mind on these things, Mary was a wonderful person. She must have been a lovely person, because God would want the best for his son, wouldn't he? And she was chosen to be the one who would have the privilege and the joy of bringing Jesus into the world. But of course, later on, she was to have go through all the agony of seeing him hanging on the cross. That man, that baby that she brought into the world, became the man of Calvary. And he was a young man, 33 years of age, approximately. And so it was that this was to be her position. And as I say, her reaction was, "For nothing is impossible with God." And what did she do? What was her reaction? And then she got ready and she went to visit Elizabeth, which the Gabriel had told her that Elizabeth, her cousin, was going to give birth to a baby as well. And she was well on, she was 6 months pregnant, as it were. And so she got up and she went to the hill country to visit her cousin. And she greeted Elizabeth, and it says that the baby leapt in her womb, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, Elizabeth made a very significant comment in verse 45. She said, "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And that was true for Elizabeth as it was going to be for Mary, wasn't it? And so Mary was so filled with the Spirit that she said some inspired words, which we call the Magnificat. And I think it's probably, looking at time, we've probably got a minute or two to do it. Mary's song, and she said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Tremendous words, and they were quoted by Mary when she was with her cousin, Elizabeth. And so the birth of John the Baptist was to happen. A baby was born on time, a son to the excitement of all. And on the eighth day, they came to the usual ritual where he was a male child, so he would be circumcised, and the baby would be named. And Elizabeth, the people were saying, oh, he'll be called Zechariah after his father. I was named after my mother's one and only brother. And my middle name is my dad's eldest brother. And that's the sort of thing that goes on in families, not so much these days. But that was quite the norm, wasn't it? And especially in these times. And so everybody expected him to be called Zechariah. But Elizabeth exclaimed, it says, no, he is to be called John. As Gabriel had said, we read of that in verse 60. Confusion. Zechariah was consulted, and of course he couldn't speak. So he called for something to write upon, and he wrote down that the child should be called John, as the angel Gabriel had told him. And immediately it says, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. We read that in verse 64. So John's birth was the talk of the area, saying, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was upon him. And if you think back to last Sunday morning, we heard a lot about our speaker too, that we thought about John and what he was. Quite an odd character in many ways, but what a man of God he was. And he was to be the one who was going to introduce his cousin, the Lord Jesus, to the people. And he was a great guy, and sadly, because he was a man of God and spoke his mind, we were reminded last week by Chris that he lost his life in those sad circumstances by the king. And so the child grew, it says, and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. And that's the last verse of the chapter. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. And so it was that, as I say, if we think back to what we heard last Sunday, the story really starts to move on. But this brings me to the point where we're thinking about chapter 9, as I've called it, of the Love Your Church. You see, it's very nice for us to come and to meet on a Sunday like this. I don't know about you, but I look forward to Sunday morning when I meet with you good folk. You know, we're friends. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. But you know, a lot of empty seats around, aren't there? And I don't know whether that concerns you, but it certainly concerns me. And this is where I want to just, for the last few minutes, apply it to us. We've seen that nothing is impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. And so I'm suggesting a chapter 9 to Love Your Church. It should be in reality for us at Twinning Chapel in the spring of next year. Now, you know, all things work together for good to those who love God. Romans 8 and verse 28. That's always been a verse that's been very, very special to me right through my life. And I've seen it's working out in my life over many years. God has been wonderful in my life. Now, I've had problems like everyone else. You know what a year this year's been for me. It's not been an easy year. But you know, I wouldn't change that year in many ways, because God has become very special to me this year, as I've come through the various things that have happened. But I've known the Lord very much with me. And I went, as you know, I'm a what we used to be called Gideons, which is much easier to mention, but we're now members of the Good News for Everyone, which has been a great success, as if you were here when we did the Sunday a few weeks ago, when Andrew explained some of the things that have changed. And we went to the convention, Andrew and I, the other week, and we were introduced to this book. Now, I spent my life in printing and publishing, both working in it and lecturing in it. And so I love good print. The first thing, if something doesn't look good, I'm not so interested in it. But you know, one thing about the Gideons, and as we followed on in Good News, the quality of the print that is produced is amazing. So we were all given a copy of this. And this is, as you know, our Gospels and the Hope magazines are the Gospel of John. And when we introduce a new Christian, you know, when we sort of, I've been worked with the Billy Graham Association over the years as a helper at the end of this. And you're introduced, the first thing that you introduce the person to when they've made a profession of faith is to read the Gospel of John. And that's what follows on with the Good News. But this one is Luke. This is the Gospel of Luke. And I'm not going to go through it all because we were supposed to be... will we be able to see that at the end, the video? Because we were shown a video. And it can... our executive director and president, they tell us more about this. So I've got a copy of this for everyone this morning, and I want you to take it away and to read it, particularly the introductory parts and the testimonies and so on that are in there. And my prayer is and wish is that in a new year, we come the spring, we get through this cold of the winter and, you know, the bad days and so on, is that we will... go open the doors of the chapel and we'll go out and we'll try and introduce people. And I'm hoping that this is something that we can give to people that are made available to us, cost us, but you know, they're very reasonable when you think of the quality and the work that's gone in to produce this. And so that's my vision for 2024, is that some, I know not all of us will be doing that, but you know, sometimes I've said to people, oh, well, you know, we can do this when we've done it in previous churches. And some people have been amazed when they've come out. We'll go out in couples, not on our own, male and female if possible, because it might be a man, it might be a woman who opens the door. But this is my prayer this morning, that we will have a chapter 9 to look forward to in the new year. And my prayer, and I'm sure the prayer of many, is that come a new year, we'll see people coming in. Not because we want to see all the church filled, that's immaterial, but because we want them to hear about the Lord Jesus. We've welcomed a new lady, or I've welcomed her this morning, and she's here because we are a gospel-based church. And sadly, we're living in days where many of our churches are not really gospel-based. They're compromising. And I hope that today, as long as I'm alive and involved in the running of this church here, that we will not compromise, that this Bible, from Genesis 1, verse 1, right through to Revelation 22, 21 and verse 22, I think it is, that's what we are based our faith on. And so I'm going to leave this with you now. We'll watch. The time is, I see the time is off. But that's about only a couple of minutes, isn't it, Donald? So if Donald sees that, and then we'll, if you want to sing the last hymn, which ties in, I think, is it, Tom? With Mary's Magnificat, that's what it's written on. And so that's my vision for the next year. And I trust that there'll be others who have that vision as well this morning. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Ian Mayer, Executive Director, and with me is Graham Beckett, our National President.
Hi.
And we're delighted at your regional convention today to be launching the Explore publication. And I want to share just a little bit about the background to Explore and what's contained within it. The aim of Explore is that we wanted to have a publication that could be given to someone who knows absolutely nothing about the Christian faith, and this would explain to them what Christians believe, as well as giving them the opportunity to read one of the Gospels. And as you leave your regional convention today, you will receive a copy of Explore. But just to go through it briefly, first of all, it begins with an introduction to Jesus and some questions that people often have in relation to who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And then it goes on over the next few pages to give a pictorial outline of what Christians believe. And as it says here, let's explore what Christians believe. We then have a testimony before we have Luke's Gospel. And in Explore, it has the entire Gospel of Luke, including in the middle of it another testimony that is specifically related to Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. Following Luke's Gospel, there is a commitment page which explains, as it does in the Hope publications, how someone can make a decision to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, there is another testimony and an encouragement for people, once they've made that decision, to engage with a church and the benefits and blessings of being part of a local church. So that's just a little bit of the thinking behind the Explore publication. So Graham, can I ask, where do you see Explore being used most effectively?
Well, I think we can use it most effectively in the churches, in a way, as a way to re-engage with the churches. In the past, as you know, we've always gone into the church and asked for things. This is a way in which we can give something very tangible, very useful for outreach, back to the church.
Okay. So one of the aims of this is for us to develop and strengthen our relationships with churches. But it's not just about giving it to the church, is it? We want the local branch to engage with the church. How do you see that working?
Well, I think we could do that in a, if you like, a new way of visiting the church. So we could go along, we could present the Explore booklet, we could provide some hints and tips, some training on outreach, and so that the church members will be encouraged, perhaps feel more confident, inspired to go out, maybe first of all just to a friend, or maybe on a more organised local outreach.
So as Graham said there, what we want is to be going along to the church, to be explaining about Explore, and sharing with them how we can work together in personal evangelism, and how we can work together in sharing our faith. So Graham, it's an excellent idea in theory, but have you tried it in relation to working with a church? Have you tried this idea of working with a local church?
Oh, the answer is yes. A few months ago, I was involved with Mortimer West End Chapel, which is a small church near me, and we set up a couple of explanatory sessions. We didn't have the Explore booklet, but we used something similar, something less tailored for us, so this will be better. And as a result of that, on the second visit, it was just before Easter, and we were able to go out and visit a local community in a mobile home park and knock on every door and engage with various people and give them details of the services in the church. And in that case, we gave a PWT, but I think the Explore magazine will just seem a little bit more user-friendly and less formal in this format. And the testimonies in the Explore will enable them to kind of engage better with the Christian faith.
Yeah. So in working with the church, we are looking to actually go out into the community with the Explore publication and share our faith with others. And so for many of us, that will be something outside our comfort zone. So how did you feel when you did that, Graham? You went out with members of the church and you knocked on doors, you met people, you gave them a PWT. How did you feel about that?
Well, I did feel nervous, yeah. And I felt particularly nervous because a very close friend, who I have a great deal of respect, was in that church and was listening to every word and watching every move. But the actual experience of going out, because there were a number of us, I think there were perhaps about 12 of us altogether that did that, we had a real sense of working as a team, and we prayed together, the Lord was with us. So I think that took away those fears.
Yeah, excellent. So working with churches is an excellent way to use Explore, but of course there's other ways that Explore can be used as well. It can be used in many different areas of personal witnessing. And what we intend to do in the next few weeks following the regional convention, we'll be given some training notes and guiding notes as to how Explore can be used. And that will be very helpful to give members some guidance as to how this can be used.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Graham. And just finally, before we hand over to Ben Worth, who is going to explain how these can be ordered, we would love to hear your testimonies of Explore. So as you use Explore, please email National Office info@goodnewsuk.com and share with us your testimonies and your photos as to how Explore has been used in your area, so that we can share that with members around the country for all our encouragement. And as we often say, above all, as we pray that through reading Explore, others will come to know the Lord Jesus, above all we pray that God will be honoured and glorified in the work that we do. Thank you, Graham.
Thank you.
Bless you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ben. I head up scripture distribution here at National Office.